Okay, today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Mem. We left off on daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. We were about to start the story of Mari Bar Isak. So we're about 15 lines from the bottom of the page. First word online is Mari Bar Isak. So again, we're talking about a person, a Yoresh, a Karov, going down L'Nichse Shavui, going and taking care of the Nechasim of someone who's been captured, and what his level of compensation is, what his level of entitlement to the property is. So says the Gemara story, Mari Bar Isak Asalei Acha Mibei Chazai. Mari Bar Isak had taken over some property of his father, and he then had a brother show up from Bei Chozai. Now, Mari Bar Isak's father, it does not seem, was captured. It seems that he was dead. And his brother showed up from Bei Chozai and said, Amalei Plogli, said, okay, I'm here to split the Yerusha with you, good old brother. So Amalei, Mari Bar Isak looks at this guy and he says, Lo yadanalach, I have no idea who you are. What are you talking about? So Asa l'kamed Rav Chista, they went to Rav Chista, this guy claiming to be Mari Bar Isak's brother, and Mari Bar Isak, Amalei Shapir Karmelach. So Rav Chista told the guy who claimed to be the brother, you know, don't be insulted that he didn't recognize you. It's totally reasonable, if you were away for a while, for him not to recognize you, even though he's your brother. Why is it totally reasonable? Shenemar, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk says about Yosef, Vayaker Yosef esachav, veheim lo ikiruhu, that Yosef recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. So that shows you that that Yosef had left before he had matured enough to be able to grow a beard, and he came back and he had a chasim hazakan already. He already had grown a beard. So since he had grown a beard in the interim, he was completely not recognizable. His own brothers didn't recognize him, and that's normal. It's normal not to recognize someone you last saw as a child without a beard, if now he's an adult with a beard. So Rav Chista tells this brother, this alleged brother, don't worry if Mari Bar Isak doesn't recognize you. It doesn't mean you're not his brother. It doesn't mean that he has amnesia. It just means that you left at a very young age, and now you're much older, so it's possible that he doesn't recognize you, even if you are his brother. Now, why is this included in the story? So what? And therefore what? That doesn't determine the halacha either way, meaning it's possible and it's possible not. It doesn't tell us who's telling the truth either. So we're going to see later on why this is a critical point. The fact that when he had left, he was very young, and now he's much older. We're going to see how that plays a role. So just keep that in the back of our minds. So Amalei Zilai Sisadi Dachuad. Now he said, okay, time to paskan halacha. So Chista said, okay, you claim to be Mari Bar Isak's brother, go and bring a raya that in fact you are his brother. You can't just claim to be his brother, you need a raya. So Amalei, so he said, look, Isli Sahadi, I have witnesses, there's no problem with that. Problem is, they're afraid of coming to testify that I'm Mari Bar Isak's brother, because Mari Bar Isak is apparently a very strong guy, he's a very intimidating character, and they don't want to come to testify something that's going to cost Mari Bar Isak any money, because they're afraid that he's a mafioso, he's going to go and hurt them because he's such a strong guy. So I have witnesses, but they're terrified to come. So what do you want me to do? So Amalei L'didei, so Rav Chista told Mari Bar Isak himself, Zil ant aisisadi de lava chuchahu. Why don't you go bring witnesses that he's not your brother? I mean, you claim he's not your brother, you bring witnesses that he's not your brother. Amar lei, so Mari Bar Isak says, really? That's justice? Dina hachi, hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. Why is that the din? Isn't the din hamotzi mechaver alav haraya? Why should I have to go and bring a raya that he is my brother, that he's not my brother, rather, in order not to have to pay him something that I'm holding on to right now? If he wants to take something that I'm holding on to right now, let him bring a raya that I'm holding on to it right now. Samalei, hachi dainin alach l'chol alimi d'chavrcha. So Chis said, sorry, maybe you shouldn't have gone into a career as a mafioso and you wouldn't have had this problem. But anyone who's intimidating like you, who we can't find witnesses, who no one who's in a court case against you is ever going to be able to find witnesses to come to testify against you, we have no choice but to force you to prove everything you say. So Amalei, so Mari Bar Isak said, yeah, but what do you think it's going to do? If you think I'm such an intimidating guy and no one's ever going to come to court to testify anything against me, so you want me to go bring witnesses? sof sof asus hadi v'lo mesadi. I'm going to find those same witnesses that were that he claims were going to testify that he is my brother, and they're going to testify that he's not my brother because I'm so intimidating. Meaning they're just going to testify whatever I want them to testify anyway. So what's the point of me going out and finding witnesses if you don't trust that anyone's going to tell the truth when I'm in the room? So he said to him, Tati lo avdi. No, witnesses will not do two misdeeds at the same time. Meaning, true, if they're afraid of you, they might not show up to court. But they're not also going to lie in court. Meaning that not showing up to court is as far as they'll come. But they're not also going to lie in court or come here and just keep their mouth shut and not say anything because they're afraid to say anything. They just won't show up to court. So if you go and you can bring them here, once they're here, because of the intimidation factor, they're not going to commit perjury. So the next day they brought witnesses that in fact he was his brother. So okay, he was his brother. So the brother now said, I want to take a chelek of the vineyards and of all the fields with trees that you have worked on. The shasal means that the shasal yuvishvichan that you have planted and worked on, and give me half of them because those are really fantastic properties. I want half of everything that you have invested in also. So amalei shapir kamalach. So Rav Chisda said, you know, he's right. He's entitled to that also. The Tanan, because we have a mission that says, "Hiniach banim gedolim uktanim v'shpichu gedolim esanuchasim hishpichu lemsa." That if a father dies and he leaves younger children and older children, and the older children invest in the properties and they enhance the properties through their investment, so the halacha is that the ketanim get a fair division of that investment as well, even though the ketanim didn't put the money into it. It was the gedolim who put the money into it. So Mari, it's a similar situation over here. This other brother, granted, he's not a ketan right now, but you put a lot of money into it. He wasn't around. He couldn't put money into it. He wasn't here. The properties are enhanced. You should split it. And not only is it a Mishnah, Rabba also says Ishpichu L'Emtza. That's a little bit strange. Rashi immediately notes. You have a Mishnah that says Ishpichu L'Emtza, and then you want to emphasize that it's true, so you bring up Namora. Isn't the Mishnah more authoritative? So Rashi says, "V'chinam Rabbi Shpich Lemtza Logar Sinan Shein Zal Lashon Gemara LaHavi Divrei Amoraim Siwa LeMishnah." That doesn't happen. The Gemara doesn't bring a raya from an Amora after we've already quoted a Mishnah. Va'od, and furthermore, Rabbi Talmidei Rav Chisda Hava. Keep in mind, Rav Chisda is the judge over here. Rabbi was Rav Chisda's Talmid. Rav Chisda is trying to impose on Mari Bar Yitzchak to split all the properties, even those that he invested in and put a lot of money into and have improved a lot. And he's going to bring a raya from his Talmid? And you should definitely listen to me because even my Talmud agrees with me. And what doesn't your Talmud agree with you about? I mean, how's that at all normal for him to bring a raya from a Talmud of his? How could Rav Chisda say something in the name of Rabba? So he says, if you're going to be garisid at all, the igarisle v'cheinama Rav garsinan, shayu Rabba shal Rav Chisda. So if you're going to be garisid, you should say v'cheinama Rav, because at least Rav was Rav Chisda's Rebbe. So then you could say that if it was Rav's Shita, and Rashi then goes out and proves that it was in fact Rav's Shita, if you could say that it was Rav's Shita, so then it's a little more understandable. It doesn't totally answer the question of why it would be normal for the Gemara to quote an Amora after quoting a Mishnah, but that maybe you could argue that Rav Chisda was trying to prove to him that this is standard practice, that it's not just in theory in the Beis Medrash, that this was something in ancient times that they taught, but standard practice, it's been accepted as halacha, because even in our generation, the Gadol Hadar, Rav also held that this is the halacha, this is what you do. Anyway, so Abaye said to Rav Chisda, "Mi dami? How can you compare the case of a gadol brother who invests in the father's property and that he has to split it with his ketanim brothers to the case of Mari Barasik? Midami hasam gadolim gabe ketanim yadi v'kamachli. When the gadolim invest in the father's property, they know that there are ketanim brothers there, and they know that they're ultimately going to have to share with the ketanim brothers, and they're mochel." Over here, do they know? Does anybody know what's going on that they could even begin to be mochel? Who knows anything that they could be mochel? Mari Bar Yitzchak doesn't know that he has a brother somewhere. He didn't know a brother was showing up when he invested money in that property. So he was never mochel on all the money that he put into the property. Why should he have to divide it? This psak of Rav Chista was the talk of the town, and ultimately Rabbi Ami heard about Rav Chista's famous psak. Rav Ami said that we have an even greater example of Shaman Lahem Ka'aris, of when a Karov is Yorid Linukse Shavui. So what do? We say Shaman Lahem Ka'aris, that they at least get compensated like a sharecropper. So think about that. When it's not my property at all, someone was just a shavoy and I went and I took care of the property, you're still going to compensate me like an aris at least. So when it's my own property, I'm a yorish in the property. Mari was definitely a yorish in this property, was his own property. You're not even going to give him like an aris. You're not going to give him anything. Rashi says, Bitmia, Zesha Asavishbichan, Rashi says, Ladas Atmo, Loya Vinile Ka'aris Bechelek Hasheni. Meaning his own chelek obviously he gets, but the other guy's chelek, he's not even get paid like an aris. Why is that fair? So I drew a halakha made Rav Chista. So again, now it really became talk of the town. So the word got back to Rav Chista that Rabbi Ami had vehemently argued on him based on this idea of at least being compensated like an aris. And Amar Lahu and Rav Chista said, no, there's no tsushtal over here between the case of a Yori Linuxa Shavui and the case of Mari Barisak. Midami, Hasum Birishus Nachis. When a karov is yari the nixay shavoy, he has rishus beizdin. He gets rishus beizdin before he goes. Over here, Mari Bar Yisak never had rishus beizdin to go into his brother's half of the property. He did that on his own. Va'od katan hu ve'in moridin karov the nixay katan. A katan. And furthermore, you want to say his brother has a din of a shavoy, so he's a karov going and taking care of his brother's property, just like a karov goes into a nixay shavoy all the time. No, his brother was a katan. Now we understand why the Gemara had to introduce us to that idea that Rav Chista said, look, it's reasonable he doesn't recognize you because when you left, you were a katan. Now you're much older. When you left, you were a child. Now you're much older. Although not having chasima zakan is different than being a katan, right? You could be a bar mitzvah and not have chasima zakan. Chasima zakan comes in the later teenage years, not in the earlier years. But anyway, different for each person, I guess, but it certainly doesn't come by bar mitzvah for the most part. So anyway, he said he was a katan. You had no right, even if you want to consider him like a shavui, where you could be yored into his nechasim. You had no right to be yored into his nechasim. I drew a kamed Rabbi Ami. So the mice got back to Rabbi Ami. Amalu lo simu kamed katanu. Rabbi Ami says, you know, this is why we don't paskin based on hearsay. I had no idea that he was a katan. No one ever told me all the details of the case, right? That's why when you're going to be a dayan, you're going to paskin, and you're a rav, and you're paskin, you have to know all the details. You can't have seemingly insignificant details left out of the case. So that's why it's important to know how to ask a shiloh also in general. A lot of times people ask a shiloh, they focus on the wrong details. I guess that's why it's important to ask a shiloh someone who knows what details to ask you about. But that's important that you have all the pertinent details. So a couple of issues over here before we move on to the next Mishnah. This idea, Sheyatza Balo Chasima Zakan, says Tosfos, Sheyatza Balo Chasima Zakan, that he left before he had a beard. Hu Adinim Yatza Balo Chasima Zakan, Deinam and Lamar Shuachim. You know what? Even if he left when he was 30 years old and he already had a beard, he still would not be believed to say that he's his brother. Dimkein Lo Shafkas Chay LeKol Birya HaShirim SheKol Echad Yomer Ani Achicha. Everyone would find Bill Gates and everyone would say, I'm your long lost brother. He's going to be Naaman. Someone's going to just walk in and say, I'm your long lost brother, and that's it, and he's going to be believed. So he says it doesn't matter if he left as a child, left as an adult. Rav Chista was not saying because he doesn't recognize you and you left as a child, so it's reasonable that he doesn't recognize you, that's why you need to prove that he's your brother, that you're his brother. No, you need to prove you're his brother anyway. If you come in off the street and no one knows who you are and you start claiming that you're somebody's brother, you need to prove that. If someone says, this is my brother, he's not believed. Mari Bar Yisak did not say, this is not my brother. Mari Bar Yisak said, I don't know. I don't know this guy. It could be he is my brother. And that's why, had the guy left B'chasim HaZakan, Mari Bar Yisak would not be believed, because they're not actually contradicting each other. One guy is saying, Bari, I am his brother, with the time it's Bari. And Mari Bar Yisak is saying, Shema, I don't know, but I don't think so. I don't know the guy. So that's why Mari Bar Yitzchak has a weaker position over here. But if you say with the tenet's Bari, this is not my brother, you're absolutely going to be believed that it is not your brother. No one has the right to come in off the street and claim that it is your brother. And Nemuka Yosef has a different take on it. Nemuka Yosef says, no. If someone walks in off the street claiming to be your brother, he immediately has the upper hand. Because that's not a normal thing to do. People don't know. It's not. Tosla says, no Ashir is going to be able to get to walk two steps without someone claiming to be his brother. Okay, Yosef says it's not true. Think about it. How many times does that happen? Do people really go around claiming to be someone's brother? They come up with other tainas. But it's a very unusual thing to claim to be somebody's brother, because no one ever thinks they're going to be able to get away with that if you're lying about it. To claim to be someone's brother, it's a very difficult thing. So therefore, that's why Mari Bar Yitzchak had the lower hand immediately. And next also, Zil at Isisati Dlavachuchu, then he was put on the defensive, told to bring a raya that it wasn't his brother. Frek tells us him Tomar Vikala the Mashir Ilim Alam, Yitzarik Lavi Adim Shain Hatova Achiv. Every strong, rich guy has to bring a raya that someone who's taveya him is not his brother. Is that really the halacha? So v'yeshlomer d'shayni acha sha'oso amar sheyeshlo edim v'yireim lahagid. No, normally he would not have had to bring a raya that it wasn't his brother, but the guy wasn't just claiming it was his brother. He was claiming it was his brother and he had edim, and the edim were afraid to come. So amalei Rav Chista sheyasi imam sheyidu. So Rav Chista said, he says he has the edim. He's going to identify those edim. Right? So this is how what the Pshat in the Gemara was. This is a Pshat Tosos. So Mari Bar Yitzchak, go to those people, not Stam bring Edim. Find those Edim, go to those people who we know who they are. He's identified them, and who apparently are afraid to testify, and you tell them you want them to testify. And then they'll come. Mari Bar Yitzchak says, I'll tell them to testify, but they're going to lie for me. If they're so afraid of me, they're going to lie for me. So they're going to say, meaning, that he really is my brother, and these guys are just afraid of me. They're so afraid, they're probably, I'll get them to come, but they're going to lie for me, and they're going to say that he's not my brother. Umeshani, and they answered him back, no, tarti lavdi, chadash yishtuku milahed, v'chadash yishakru, v'yomareinu yodim, v'yomareinu achiv, to both not be made, and to lie, not be made the truth, and to be made a falsehood, that they're not going to do. That's already too much. Okay, new mission, we got to get moving here. Hamafki peros yitzel chaver, a person leaves peros by his friend to watch. Harezi yotzi lo chesronos. So when he returns the fruits that were pikadon by him, so it normally depreciates over time. So you can expect when you get paid back, you expect a normal standard depreciation. You're not going to get paid back the full amount that you gave. L'chitim la'oras tishachat soikav. According to the Mishnah, defines what's a normal depreciation. For chitim and for ores, it's 9 half kavin, 4.5 kavin for each core of produce. L'sa'orin l'dochen, the Gemara Mishnah is going to say that that's per year. L'sa'orin l'dochen tishachavin l'kor, or perhaps it's per year. L'sa'orin l'dochen tishachavin l'kor. For sa'orim and for dochen, it's 9 kavs for each core. L'kusmin l'zerapishtan shlosh si'in l'kor. And for kusmin and zerapishtan, it's 3 sa'as for each core that was deposited by you. So there's a 3 sa'a depreciation. Hakalafi amida v'akalafi azman. Rashi points out this means that on an annual basis, per core, that's what we assume it's going to depreciate on an annual basis. It goes on, depreciates every year. It's not just a one-time thing. Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, really, it's not just a one-time thing. Meaning, it's per core. He's going on the Hakalafi Amida part, not the Hakalafi Azman. Really, per core, that's how much it depreciates. V'chimayich matan lachbarin v'alo ochlos ben meharbi ben mekima. If there's a certain amount of mice in this area, so why would they eat more from a larger amount than they would from a smaller amount? The achbar is going to eat till he's full. He doesn't care how much you have. He doesn't care if he's robbing you clean or if he's or if you have 10 cores. If he only needs to eat 9 chatzai kavin, he's going to eat 9 chatzai kavin. The assumption is the depreciation happens as a result of achbarim coming and eating, right? So if that's the issue, so the achbar could care less how much you have over here. So it shouldn't be per core. It should be a one per year on an annual basis. That's how much the local achbarim eat. We only assume a depreciation of the first core. Everything after the first core, we don't assume a depreciation. Tosa says, but wait a second, what about less than a core? why don't you assume a depreciation on something less than a quarter? So it also says that the achbarim don't likely go in to find something that's less than a quarter. It's much smaller. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Haisam Mida Maruba Ina Motzi Lo Chesronos Mnei Shomos Siros. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you left him a lot, you left him 10 quarters or something like that, then we don't take out, we don't assume a depreciation, because there's also a factor on the other side, a balancing factor, that it swells also. In the times in the rainy season, the produce swells. So we don't have to assume a depreciation, because there's also an appreciation. So the two cancel each other out when it's a very large amount of produce that was left by you. Now, Tosfos over here quotes the Yerushalmi, right, that why would the Akbarim care if it's less or if it's more? So Tosfos explains, what do the Rabbanan hold? How did the Rabbanan answer that taina? How many mice are there in the area? So if there's X amount of mice, they're going to eat the same amount, whether you have a lot or a little. So Tosfos explains, V'tamay the Rabbanan mefarish b'Yerushalmi, hani achbari rashin in hu. These achbarim are such rishayim. Not only do they eat what they want, they call all their friends to come eat with them. So, meaning when they see a lot of stuff, they're going to call all their friends. So you're going to have a larger problem of mice when you have more produce. So that's why it's going to eat. That's why we cheshbon per kor. Actually, let's leave that out for now. Says the Gemara. Orez tuva chasar. So the orez depreciates even more. Some Rabbi Abchanan, Rabbi Abiyochanan, but orez kolof shanu. No, we're talking about peeled orez. So depending on whether it's peeled or not, its depreciation could be greater or less. L'kusman el zarapishtan gimel sitin l'kor. L'kusman and zarapishtan is three saws of depreciation per kor. Amar Abiyochanan, Amar Abchiyah, zarapishtan begiv olin shanu. When we talk about pishtan, we're talking about, well, it's in its husk. Tani namiyachi, l'kusman el zarapishtan begiv olin. And the Brisa says so explicitly. And by orez that's not kaluf, the brisa continues, that's not peeled, then it's three sa'as per kor. Good. Hakalufia mida v'chulei. So we said everything based on the mida and the zman, everything based on how many kors you have and how many years you had it. Tana chen l'chol kor v'kor v'chen l'chol shana v'shana. Defining what mida and zman means for each kor and for each year, that's the amount of depreciation expected. Am Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'chulei. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, no, what does the achbar care how much stuff you have? He's always going to take the same amount. Whether it shouldn't be l'chol kor v'kor. He's going to take the same amount whether you have one kor, five kors, 10 kors. Tanya, Amru lo Rabbi Yochanan, harbe uvdos ovdos man, harbe mispasos man. No, forget about the achbarim. There's a lot that's going to get ruined, a lot that will get scattered and lost. It's not just about the achbarim. Depreciation happens for other reasons also. And that does depend on how many, on the volume of produce that you're watching over. So Tana b'medvar amurin she'irvanim peirosav. That we're talking dafka when you took the produce you're supposed to watch and you mixed it together with your own peiros. But certainly if you're just watching someone else's peiros and you put it in a room where nothing else is there, in a closet somewhere, and you lock the closet and it's just there, so certainly you could just open the closet when the guy wants his stuff back and say, here, take it. There's no cheshbon you have to make of how much does it depreciate, how much does it not depreciate. We'll figure out how much it depreciates by counting what you got. But this is what you got. Meaning there's no, you're not entitled to any more or less than what's here. But when I mix it with my payros, so then I have to figure out what's yours, what's mine, how much of a loss you're supposed to take, how much I'm supposed to take. In fact, but even if you did mix it with your payros, why don't you just cheshbon out how much was yours, how much was his, and give a percentage? So it says, meaning if it was 50% his, 50% yours, and now granted there's less volume, but so it's still split 50-50. So it says, Maranabim is stopping mehem. You continually went into this to take for your own food, for your own supply, so you don't have a clean percentage. So v'lachsi kam is stopping. Look how much you took, and then figure out the percentages. The loyadi kam is stopping. No, you don't know how much you took exactly. You know how much he gave you. That's all you know. And you don't know how much you mixed it with. So therefore, you have to work with some standard rate of depreciation that has to be assumed based on the achbarim, and based on the avudin, and based on the mispazrim, based on whatever happens to cause it to depreciate or to cause it to get lost. The Mishnah concluded that Rabbi Yehuda says if it was a midah meruba, then you're not mostly the chesronos because they are most siros, because they also expand. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ma'aseh v'chulei, kama midah meruba. What is a midah meruba? How do we define what's considered a lot? Some Rabbi Rechanan Rabbi Yochanan Asara Kurin, 10 cores. Tani Nami Hachi, Kami Midam Ruba, Asara Kurin. Tani Tanaka Midam Rav Nachman, Bamedvar Mamurim, Shemadal Mitoch Gorno, Vehechsel Mitoch Gorno. That's only if you measured it in the Goren and you returned it from the Goren. Avamadal Mitoch Gorno, Vehechsel Mitoch Beso, but if you measured it in the Goren and you returned it from your house, by the time it gets to your house, it's expanded already. So then you're not going to be to deduct any of the chesronos, any of the expected depreciation, because in fact it has expanded by going into the house. Well, what do you mean? We're talking about over here, shuftani means idiots. We're talking about stupid people that they'll give it to him with a larger measurement, and then they'll return it with a smaller measurement. So no, Dilma be Mosa Garden Kamrit. But Medvar Mamur Mushamadl be Mosa Garden Vexel be Mosa Garden. We're not talking about where you measure it from. Because the measuring utensils in the house and the Goren might be different. No, the point is you measured it during the days of the Goren, and you return it during the days of the Goren, then you can assume a depreciation. Avamadl be Mosa Goren. But if you measured it initially when you received it during the days of the threshing, the Hikzul be Mosa Gisham, and you return it during the rainy season, where it's going to become waterlogged and it's going to expand because of the water that's in it, then you don't deduct the chesronos because it expands based on the water. So he says, but then shouldn't the barrel explode if it's in, if it expands so much? Yeah, it actually happened once. Or because it just becomes very much packed in together, meaning it gets packed much more tightly, but the barrel's not actually going to explode, but nevertheless, it's still waterlogged. We still assume that it expands in some way. Okay, new Mishnah. Yosil Shus Liayin. If you gave someone wine and he mixed it with his wine, and you don't, and again, you have the same problem we had in the last Mishnah. You don't know how much wine to get back, or the person doesn't know, the shomer doesn't know how much wine to give back. So you can assume you can deduct 1/6 of the volume that got somehow nivla. Now achbarim don't drink the wine; it's not an issue of achbarim. It's that got nivla in the barrels that got absorbed into the barrels. So 1/6 of the volume. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chomesh. Rabbi Yehuda says 1/5 of the volume gets absorbed into the barrels. Yotzi lo shlosh lugin shemen lemeya, where motzi 3 lugs of oil for each 100, lugu mechza shmarim, lugu mechza bala, because 1.5 lugs were shmarim, were initially probably just the sediment of the oil, so you're not returning that anyway, you're returning pure oil, so you could deduct 1.5 lugs of volume for the sediment, and 1.5 lugs that got absorbed into the barrels. Imhaya shemen mezuka ken yotzi lo shmarim, obviously if he gave you pure clean oil that didn't have any sediment in it, then you don't deduct for the amount of the sediment that is not here anymore. And obviously, if he gave you old barrels that were already saturated with oil, so then you're not going to pay for you're not going to have to, you're not going to deduct the oil that gets absorbed into the barrel, because there's no room in the barrel for it to be absorbed anymore. Even if someone sells, it's not just a pikadon, even if someone sells shemen mezukak to his friend, clean shemen, kol yimel sashana, hareza mekabel of lugu mechza shmarim lumeya. He's mekabel that if you agree to sell him 100 lug of shemen mezukak, you can give him 98.5 lug of shemen mezukak. Because normally when a guy buys something, he assumes that there's going to be a lug and a half of shmarim. So if he wants shemen mezukak, if he wants perfectly clean oil, so you can give him 98.5 lugin instead of 100 lugin, because as long as you leave the shmarim out. So says Marvelo, the initial machlokas in the Mishnah, whether wine you can assume 1/6 or 1/5 gets absorbed into the barrels, is not a machlokas at all. Mark yesrei. It all depends on the type of wine, depends on the type of barrels, right? In one place they would line the barrels with kira, and therefore wouldn't absorb that much. In the other place they would make the barrels in a different way. They would line it with some other type of treatment. They would treat the barrels with something else, and therefore would be able to absorb a little bit more. So that's all. It's not a machlokes. It's about what the barrels can be balea in different places. Iba yisema mishum gargishta Others say it's because the karka from which they make the barrels, the actual raw material, not what they line the barrels with, but the actual raw material from which they make the barrels, so it might absorb more or less. In the place of Rabbi Yehuda, so they put 48 kuz, which is a volume, in one barrel, in one dana. Azul dana b'shisa zuzay. And he was able to buy a barrel for 6 zuz. Paras Rav Yehuda shisa shisa b'zuzay. Now, Rav Yehuda would sell 6 kuz each for a zuz. So if there were 48 kuz in total in a barrel, and he bought the barrel for 6 zuz, so he's making some sort of profit. So the Gemara is going to figure out exactly what the profit is. Right? It should turn out, l'chora, that he's making 8 zuz on a barrel that he bought for 6 zuz. Because if he's selling 6 kuz, and there are four total of 48 kuz, and each of the six, and for 6 kuz he gets 1 zuz, 6 times 8 is 48, right? So he should be getting 8 zuz and making a profit of 2 zuz. Problem is, dol talta b'shisa b'shisa. So first of all, the first 66 kuz that he sells, he makes no money on. That just pays for his expenses for the barrel, right? So he's got 12 kuz left to sell to make profit on. Pashle tracer, he's got 12 left. Dal t'manya shesusei, 8 you can assume is gone already because it just gets absorbed into the barrel. So right, because 8 is 1/6 of 48, so it gets absorbed into the barrel. So pashlu arba, he really only has 4 kuz on which to make money to make profit. So frankly, wait a second, when you make profit, you're not supposed to make more than 1/6 profit, and the Gemara assumes, and therefore you shouldn't make less either. Why is he making such a small profit margin? It's a terrible business. Why is he doing that? It's a strange question. No, the Gemara is assuming that you have a responsibility to make as much money as you can without breaking the laws of Ona'a. So he should be making more money. So Iko Gulfi Vishmaria. So no, because there are the Shemarim, there's the barrels, there's the sediment. So meaning he makes money on the barrel itself and the Shemarim that come out of the barrel. So Iachi Nafesh Leitfei Mishlos says Gemara. Well, if he's doing that, then he's making more than 1/6. Iko Tarchei Demay Barzaniyasa. Yeah, but he's got to pay for his own work. It's not just a matter of selling material. He puts work into it, and he has to pay a tapper to be able to take the wine out of the beer or whatever it is out of the tap. So he has to. So he has expenses. So that's why it's not considered that he has such a large profit margin. If it's pure oil, then you don't have to cheshbin for the shmarim. But it's impossible that it wasn't paleya. So Rav Nachman b'mizufafin shanim. No, we're talking about barrels that are sealed with pitch. We're not talking. It's not going on the line of the Mishnah that we just quoted. It's going on the v'chule, the next line of the Mishnah where we said that if it's saturated barrels, you don't deduct the amount of the that were soaked into the barrel. So he said, "No, b'mizufafin shanim. We're dealing with barrels that were sealed with pitch." Once the barrel is full, it's full. Let's go a little bit weiter. We got a late start. Right, review the set in the Mishnah. You're always mekabel, even by a sale, 1.5 lug for each mea, for each 100. Amar Abayi, kishatim tzolomer, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, interesting Maariv Chayes over here, of what kishatim tzolomer means, and that there might be a difference between kishatim tzilomer and kishatim tzolomer, but we don't have time for it now. Amar Abayi, kishatim tzolomer, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, mutal arev shmarim, divrei chum asal arev shmarim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it will turn out that you're allowed to mix shmarim into your oil. According to the Rachacham, it will turn out that you're not allowed to. Why? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to mix the shmarim into your oil, the sediment into your oil, the time into the mekabel. The reason why the buyer is mekabel it is because the seller could say, look, if I wanted to mix the sediment into the oil, I could have done that. I'm not doing that, so take a little bit less to account for that. So no, but the guy can tie him back to him. Look, if you would have mixed it in, so you would have been able to sell it to me. Now that you don't mix it in, you can't sell it to me. So meaning I would be able to sell it. Now you're not mixing it in, I have less volume, I'm not going to be able to sell it myself. So you say, no, we're dealing with a person who's buying it not to sell it, a balabais, who's buying it to use it. He wants to use it for himself. So maybe he could say, well, look, you weren't ma'arivit, so maybe that's a raya that you were mochel. This Rabbi Yehuda Shitaso, who holds that they're not mochel. Okay, this is going to go on for too long. We're going to have to stop here for minyan. Apologize, we got a late start. We'll pick up tomorrow from there. It's short daf tomorrow.